Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
It's wonderful to be back here at Lancaster. I thank God for this church. I thank God for my pastor. Something I tell people all across the country, it changed my life coming to this place. And while I've been in ministry work now, starting my 32nd year, there's aspects of my life that were dramatically changed by coming to Lancaster Baptist Church. And it's my prayer that your time here will affect your life in the same way, where you'll look back and say, you know what, God's done a work in my life. And I believe that one of the ways that God does that, of course, is by the preaching of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, tonight to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I'd like to speak tonight of the subject of a servant's resume. My life is a little bit unusual. I am 53 years of age, and I have never made up a resume. I was hired from the college where I was attending. I was 20 years of age. They told me, if you get a master's degree, we would like to hire you. And so I did that. Then the second job I had was helping to be a vice president of another college. And that gentleman hired me. He knew me from indirectly. And then Pastor Chappell, his brother was a student at the college where I was serving. And Pastor Chappell knew me to come and preach there at the college. And so I have never done a resume. I realize that's rather unusual. I realize that most people do resumes. I think that resumes are somewhat interesting. I like to read and see little reports about what people say about themselves. I get a lot of resumes here at the college, people who would like to work at West Coast Baptist College. It's a very common thing. And people send in their resume. They'll tell you things about themselves. Probably the one time when I was the most shocked by a resume was Dr. Melanie Teichert. And Dr. Teichert walked up to me. I didn't know she was a doctor at that time. She looked like she was about 28 years old. And I was out in the lobby shaking hands, and she said, I would be interested in teaching at your college. And, I'm going, well, good for you. And I didn't say that, though. I said what I always say, well, send me your resume, and that way I can send you what we call a thanks but no thanks letter. And so she sent me the resume. I got it a few days later. I think it was 32 pages long. I began to look through that. I'm going, what in the world? I am an idiot. And I remember setting up a lunch for the Teichert and getting to know them and finding out they had a heart to serve the Lord. And of course, Dr. Teichert has taught chemistry here and other classes for us as well. But I know that the resume told me a lot about her. It had page after page of things that she'd had published, professional journals, the different things she'd written in. It talked about the fact that she had graduated from MIT with a 3.93 GPA, how she'd gone on to teach at Annapolis, the Naval Academy, where she was Teacher of the Year. And then she'd gone on to Cal Berkeley, where she'd graduated with a perfect record with her PhD in chemistry. By reading that resume, I knew something about her. Tonight, we're going to talk about David. David's one of my favorite Bible characters. You may have heard me tell the story before when my daughter, Elisa, who is expecting our first grandchild. Amen. But by the way, that's gone pretty well. Just a brief thought from that. She was on summer tour the last 8 weeks with her husband during the first 3 or 4 months of pregnancy. Not always the best thing. And she told me, I was telling Jenna first before the service, I said, she said, how's Elisa doing? I said, well, she was soul winning with a girl. Jenna goes, that's good. I said, but she wasn't feeling well. She said, that's bad. And then I said, that's right. She was halfway up someone's driveway when she, I'll put it this way, lost it. And Jennifer, so sounds like something your wife would say. She says, well, it could have been worse. It could have been at the front door. And so, it's always good to have encouraging people like that. But when Elisa was little, we believe, of course, in having family devotions. And if I'm gone, my wife will read a Bible story to the children or read a chapter now for the Bible. And my daughter, Elisa, would always want to hear the same story. And while most children like Noah in the Ark or Jonah in the whale or Daniel in the lion's den, she always wanted to hear the same story, David and Goliath. And days after day went into weeks after weeks, and the weeks morphed into months. And finally, my wife said to her, she said, Elisa, what are you learning from this? And Elisa looked up. She was 3 or 4 years of age. And she says, we need to find bad people and kill them. And Sometimes the mother's influence comes through strongly. But I love the life of David, and I love his life because, as I often say about David, while the needle of his life swung wildly, it would always go back to true north. He had a heart for God. In fact, the Bible says this, and this is God's resume for David. It says in 1 Samuel 13:14, and again in Acts 13:22, that David was a man after God's own heart. That's a rather encouraging thing. Sometimes we look at someone like David or Peter or someone else and we say, man, God used them. God used Peter in an amazing way, and he denied Christ 3 times. He was full of pride. He was impetuous, and yet he preached the sermon at Pentecost. That encourages my heart. Friends, God can use anyone who wants to be used and is a clean and willing vessel. But David's an amazing person, and we know what God's resume was. God said, he's a man after mine own heart. But I would like to point you tonight to a servant's resume of David. What a servant, not a servant of David, not a servant of Jesse, but a servant of Saul. What would a casual bystander say about him? And we find this here tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 18, where the word of God says this. And by the way, this is after Saul had said, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. He was looking for someone to play good music. I'm a believer that good music will relax you. Good music will make a difference. So Saul was looking for a man to play there in the palace. And here's the answer in verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What an amazing description. What an amazing thing to hear about someone. Tonight I'd like to speak on a servant's resume. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray you'll be with us these next few minutes. I pray that what is said and done here will please you and honor you. I pray that we'll be challenged by this small portion of Scripture that describes one of your choice men. And Lord, I pray that maybe for having been here tonight, we will be a little bit closer to being the Christians you saved us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was traveling in the Philadelphia area. Saw Brother Guy's parents preach for a good friend, Brother Dave Cashman, there. And while there, I asked Brother Cashman, I said, would you have time to take us over to New Jersey? Not far from Brother Cashman's church in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, is where Princeton University is located. And right across the street from Princeton is a cemetery there. And inside that cemetery is the President's Cemetery. And there, all the former presidents of Princeton are interned. The second president of Princeton University was the great Jonathan Edwards. Among other teachers at Princeton were B.B. Warfield and so many others that were great men. He said, I've got time. Let me take you guys over there. I did not know how to get there, where it was at. Brother Cashman was kind enough to take us over there. And what I wanted the young men to see was what was written on the gravestones of so many of these great men of yesteryear. One thing I noticed was that there was much scripture on the gravestones. Much was said about how they lived their life for Christ. Tonight, as we think about a resume, an epitaph, if you will, I would like to ask you a question before we begin. If there was to be someone who was to describe you in the equivalence of a verse, 35 or 40 words, how would we be described? What would people say about our lives? Tonight, I believe what this servant said about David, we find some principles in his life, some characteristics, some attributes or traits that I believe are eminently copyable. And I believe that God had the Holy Spirit inspire this so we might know some things that God would be pleased with in our life. You say, how do we know that God would be pleased? Because this was a man who had a heart for God. A man after God's own heart. Let's look at this verse, if you will. The first thing we see It says about him, he was a son of Jesse. I'm going to share some things with you, just some simple principles. You might write these down in a bulletin or on a card, or maybe they're in your Bible. And maybe as you read over this, it would remind you about some things that God is pleased with. First of all, submissive to authority. The son of Jesse, submissive to authority. You say, Dr. Rasmus, it just says he was his son. How do you know he's submissive? Oh, if we know David's life at all, we know that he obeyed his father. Not only his heavenly father, but his earthly father. God's principle is this: obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. We see, if you look just right across the page at chapter number 17, some interesting verses here. Look at chapter 17, verse number 15. It says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. You go down a few verses to verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. If you go down a few more verses to verse number 20, it says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took it and went as Jesse had commanded him. You know, it's interesting that David stayed faithful to his task, even when things were exciting, even when things might draw him away. I think immediately about when Samuel anointed David. Samuel was there, the priest, the prophet of God. The brothers were gathered, but David didn't run in to see what was going on. David stayed at the task that had been given to him by his father. I believe if we are going to be used by the Lord today, that we too must be submissive to authority. The word sub means under. Are we willing to put ourselves under those that God has placed over us? We may not always understand what they want us to do, but God wants people who will be submissive to authority. It is true that teamwork makes the dream work. Having taught history now for many decades, one thing I've learned very quickly is that there is an obedience to authority in the military. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Friends, have you thought about the fact that we are in a Christian army? We too need to obey those that have the rule over us. The Sunday school teachers need to follow the superintendent. The soul winners need to follow the soul winners director in that area. The people of the choir need to follow the choir director. There's a submission to authority. David, the son of Jesse, was willing to submit to authority. By the way, we find this is true when he was in the house of Saul. He did what his king, his monarch, asked him to do. I find it's interesting that oft times in our life that we know what we ought to do, but our flesh will pull us away, which is why the Word of God tells us that we need to crucify the flesh daily. So we see in the servant's resume, the first thing, he was submissive to authority. The second thing we see is that David developed his abilities. Look at the verse with me, if you will. And the Bible says this, the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. There's actually two different abilities that we know that David developed. By the way, it was the fact that he developed his skills that brought him before King Saul in the first place. Saul was looking for someone who had some gifts. Often as I travel, I find people of different gifts. I say, you could use that for the Lord. And by the way, God can use any and all gifts that you have for him. It may be Willie De Leon who's using his gift in cooking to cook the college meals. It may be someone like Brother Hobbs or Mrs. Chapman who know accounting and financial practice who can help use their gifts in that area. And by the way, Fred, whatever your gift is, God can use it. I was preaching somewhere, just a few weeks ago. I know where it was at, Ripley, West Virginia. And I was with Pastor Leonard there. And he said, I'd like you to talk to my son some while you're here. And I began to talk to Jordan Leonard. And I said, Jordan, what do you like to do? He said, I love skateboarding. And I had a chance to witness to a guy at the airport yesterday who's just flew to town from Australia to be a BMX biker at the X Games. He was on my flight coming out of Chicago. And he was carrying wheels for bike. And I was just guessing that might be the situation. And got his name, was able to talk to him. But I talked to Jordan Leonard, and I said, Jordan, what do you love to do? He says, I do skateboarding 7 and 8 hours a day. And I thought about that. I said, well, number one, I said, have you ever thought about how you might be able to use that for the Lord? I said, if you were at a park and you start doing some tricks, you might gather some young people around. You might be able to give some tracks. But then I challenged him. I said, I would think about putting time into areas that will count more for later on. I said, you're probably not going to be doing that 4 years from now. He was a junior in high school. I said, so maybe it's your hobby. You might want to do it an hour a day and do some other things that you'll get a better return from in the long run. I said, can you think of something else? I don't think I'll forget this answer soon. I said, like, what's something else you might work on? He goes, well, my unicycle. I go, no, that wasn't quite what I had in mind, but it caught me off guard just a little bit. I laughed like you did. But I said, well, how about reading? I said, how about studying? I said, how about doing things that account for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we had a good talk, and I have mailed him one skateboard magazine, and I've sent him some postcards and try to write to him and try to encourage him, things like that. But I believe God is looking for people who will develop the abilities he's given them. The two abilities in David's life that immediately come to mind is, number one, he learned how to play the harp. One of the monikers of David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. By the way, God used that musical ability that he developed to end up writing over half of the book of Psalms. Do you know that many of the Psalms that David and some of the other folks who wrote the Psalms wrote literally acted as the hymns for the church for hundreds of years? I'm glad that David developed his abilities for the Lord. Another ability that we know that David developed was that of using the sling. Now, I wonder, I think if I were stuck out on a hillside with some sheep, not the brightest of animals, I would think that things had not fallen unto me in pleasant places. But David used that time and redeemed the time, and he developed the abilities that God had given them. So I wonder, friend, I wonder what abilities God would have us to develop. I wonder, what is, you say, well, I don't know what abilities I have. We have something here called the spiritual gift test. You say, well, I still don't know what I should work on, what I should develop. Talk to someone. Talk to Brother Christus and our Brother Furso. And talk to one of these people. Say, what would you like me to try to develop? Because there is a prepared place for a prepared person. David prepared himself, and God used the very gifts he had developed to bring honor to him and to bring him literally before kings. So we see the servant's resume. First of all, he was submissive to authority. Secondly, we see he developed his abilities. Thirdly, we see that he was brave. The Bible uses this. It says he was a mighty, valiant man. You see, he was brave. Well, I'll tell you what, we live in a day today when there is a lot of fear going on. It's a wonderful thing to know the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I had someone tell me just last week, I was talking about something, they said, I'm just afraid. In fact, a young lady was thinking about coming to Bible college. She says, it's far away, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, the Bible says in Psalm 56, verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, friends, we may talk and kind of smirk at someone being afraid to go away to Bible college. But I'll tell you this, how about facing the lion and the bear? How about being brave in the face of the mighty giant, Goliath? When all about were trembling, were afraid to go out and fight as an army, he said, I'll go down by myself. He said, is there not a cause? I believe that today more than ever before, we need some people who have some bravery. I like reading the stories of some of our Medal of Honor winners. They challenge me. I like reading the stories of people who've accomplished great things. I've made a small study of the life of Ernest Shackleton, an unbelievably brave man. You could read one of the great books on leadership I've ever read called Endurance, and it deals with the ship, the Endurance, and Shackleton's voyage to the Antarctic back in 1916 and 1918, written by Alfred Lansing. It's amazing what he did. They believe that his open boat sailing, as he tried to find relief for his men, 800 miles across the open Antarctic Sea, try to get help. Amazing story. He was brave. And he didn't have Christ. How much braver can we be when we have the Lord on our side? It's an amazing thing that David was certainly a very brave man. I wonder, will we have the strength to stand up for Jesus? I know that we don't like for people to shoot us down. I know we don't like to have a door slammed in our face. But you know what, folks? The Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. We need to go forward for the Lord. Way back in 1870, P.P. Bliss wrote the song, and I love it. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Lift the banner high for our Lord. We need to be brave to do what God would have us to do. Moving on, not only do we see that he was a brave man, but we also see he was willing to fight. It's one thing to be brave, it's another thing to actually enter into the conflict. I wonder, will we fight for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about literally getting into a physical fight, but I'm talking about entering into the arena. I love the quote by Teddy Roosevelt, who said this. He said, it's not the critics who count, but he said, it's the man down on the arena floor, the men who've entered in. He said, the other folks who are the observers will never taste the real thrill of victory. He said, there may be blood down there. There may be dirt. But he said, those who enter into the battle. And Teddy Roosevelt knew something about that. He was the type of man who was a very brave man. He was a man who, even after being the President of the United States, decided to go on a tour of a river in South Africa that was uncharted, unmapped, pre-GPS, called the River of Darkness. Probably what happened to him on that trip probably cost him his health for the rest of his life. But he was a brave man. He was willing to go into battle, as we know the story of San Juan Hill. It's interesting, he was called Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders, some of the collegians from the Eastern colleges he recruited. The only problem with the Battle of San Juan Hill, their horses hadn't arrived yet. But Roosevelt said, let's take the fort. Wearing their cowboy boots, not the best for charging uphill, they took the fort. Willing to fight. I wonder, are we willing to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to ask him to take away the spirit of fear and enter into the conflicts that he would have us to go into. Friends, we're on the winning side. God will give us the victory if we'll do what we should be doing. As we go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's so important to understand that he has a plan for each and every one of us. He wants you and he wants me to do something for the cause of Christ. He doesn't want us just to sit and to watch. He wants us to be participants in the great battle that's going on around us. So we see as we look at David's life that he was submissive to authority. He developed his abilities. He was a brave man. He was willing to fight. But then we also see something that's very important. We see he was prudent in manners, or he made wise choices. He made wise choices. We live in a world today where we see people time after time who make foolish choices. Some of these choices are destructive to their lives, to their families. And we wonder, why did this person do this? I was talking to someone on the road, and they were telling me about a family member who made some very unwise choices. How they'd had some pain, and they'd graduated from pain medication to alcohol. And that person today is incarcerated. The wrong choice. Folks, it's very important. The Bible says this. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. How will we make wise choices in our life? I'd like you to know that there's four different ways the Bible says that we can make wise choices. I don't know about you, but wisdom is something I pray for every day. I want to make the wise choice. I want to say the right thing to the young people that I may see only one time in their entire life. As I go soul winning, we're on the road, and with tour groups, we often go several times a week. I often say this. I said, sir, the odds are I'll never see you again this side of eternity. I'm in a town that I can't name. I'm going to church that I won't remember. But I'm out there soul winning. I'm saying, I may never see you again. I'm not here for something I can get out of this. But it matters to you. And I've got one chance. I can't go back like I would here in Lancaster. I need God to give me wisdom. And if you want God to give you wisdom, there's four ways. The first way that we're going to make wise choices and have wisdom, number one, we need to ask God for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I wonder, friends, are we asking for wisdom? As we deal with our children, parents, we need to ask God for his wisdom. As we deal with people at work, we need to ask God for his wisdom. As we deal with difficulties, as we seek our future, we need to ask God for his wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. So the first way to get wisdom is through asking God. But the second way to get wisdom, if you want wisdom, and I hope you do. And by the way, let me encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. It's the book about wisdom personified. It's the book that tells us what wise choices are and what foolish choices are. It's a book that describes how the fact that there's really only four types of people. There's a wise man. There's a foolish man. There's a simple man. And there's a scorner. And that book says that we're going to be one of those types of people. And with God's help, we need Christians who be wise people, make wise decisions. So the first way we ask God, the second way is we get wisdom from the Word of God. The Bible says the entrance of thy words gives light. We need God's wisdom. I ask you today, my friend, did you read the Word of God this morning? You say, well, I don't really have a regular plan as far as my Bible reading plan. Let me say this, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. If you have no plan at all, start with Daily in the Word, the little devotional we published here. It's $15. It'll give you a devotion for every day. Let me encourage you to get started somewhere. I was so encouraged at leadership conference that Dr. Willett asked Brother Davidson, he said, how much of your Bible do you read? He says, I heard you read it through four times a year. And for many years, he's read the Bible through four times a year. If you're wondering, that's about 18 chapters a day. Is it any wonder that he's a wise pastor and a wise preacher? His preaching often speaks to my heart. Dr. Willett's the same way. You think of Dr. Willett, you think about the fact that he'll often read the Old Testament through five times a year, the New Testament through seven times a year. No wonder he has fresh material. No wonder he has things that will help people, because the entrance of thy words giveth light. We think of Dr. Goetsch, who's often been a blessing to us here, and we think about the fact that he's memorized 14,000 verses of Scripture. No wonder he has some wise things to say. So if we're going to make wise choices in our life, number one, we need to ask God for wisdom. Secondly, we need to be in the Word of God. Thirdly, we need to walk with wise people. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I encourage you to have your friends in Lancaster Baptist Church. I encourage you to have friends who are faithfully in the house of God, because I believe with all my heart that nearness is likeness. Parents, I'd be very careful if my children's best friends were the folks they're meeting down at the mall or hanging around the bowling alley. Say, you say it's wrong to go to the mall? Absolutely not. Just bring an armed guard. Just kidding. Nothing wrong with bowling. About 2 days ago, we were somewhere and we had a few hours free, and I was going to catch up with some emails and write some cards. And the girls wanted to go shopping, and I had one young man with me, Kenny. He went bowling. He called around and found some place where he could do unlimited bowling for $5 or something like that. And he didn't smell too good that night, but he had a great time bowling. Now, there's nothing wrong with bowling, but I don't think probably for most teenagers that's the best place to find all their friends. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So the third way that we're going to have wisdom in our life is to be around wise people. You know, it's interesting. It's often, I teach a class here called Introduction to Collegiate Life to all the freshmen. And I try to talk to them about their devotional life. And I try to talk to them about having a balanced budget in their life. And if they don't have it, don't spend it and things like that. But you know something else I try to always tell them? I say, don't get your counsel or your advice from other freshmen. Hello. Someone sent me, I read a quote the other day, I put it on Twitter. Never in doubt, but usually wrong. And then I put after that, here come the freshmen. You know, and I was thinking about it, probably wasn't too smart in case any freshmen are following me on Twitter. But, you know, what they know, the freshmen know exactly what to do. It's amazing how many freshmen know who they're going to marry, where they're going to go. And they're like four dating relationships removed from the one they marry. No, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Oh, I know that there's people here in this church who are good people who love the Lord, but I know there's some people that I might go and ask a question to, maybe a Brother Lofgren, maybe a Brother Weibel, someone who has proven themselves over a period of years, because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And finally, the fourth way that we get wisdom in our life, if God's going to work in us and through us, is through learning from the reproofs of life. Learning from the reproofs of life. It's interesting that sometimes David didn't do this. His multiple marriages, his being drawn away from his first love. Folks, let me challenge you that when God teaches you a lesson, let's make sure that we hold on to that lesson. God brings the reproofs of life into our life for a reason. The Bible says it this way, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In fact, he chastens him betimes. I don't know about you, but I hate making the same mistake twice. And what's even worse is thrice. It's not a good feeling. I want to sit there and say, how stupid is that? I saw two or three other vans this summer. And praise the Lord, so far, Actually, the very first thing I pray for our church group is the safety of the young people. It's the overwhelming concern. We pray for students. We pray for souls to be saved. But I pray for their safety. And I saw three different vans with dings in the back bumper. One hit a fire hydrant. One hit a tree. And one hit a pole. And I thought about that. Praise the Lord. Never another vehicle. Hallelujah. I would ask Brother Healy, what does a bumper cost? Things like that. And again, it's rather insignificant. But then I thought, how could we avoid that next time? Maybe if we're in an area and someone's backing up, why don't we have someone back there helping them when they back up? Let's learn from the mistakes. I had a meeting this afternoon with Brother Moore and Mrs. Schellenberg. We were working on some things for the college. And I said, we need to change this today. We need to change this today. Folks, Einstein said this. He said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and hoping for different results. When God reproves us, when God chastens us, let's learn and do it a different way. I love the verse in Genesis 24, verse 27, where Eliezer said this. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Let's allow the Lord to lead us. He will guide us in the right way. So we see that he was prudent. He made wise choices. And finally tonight, and you've listened so well, we see sixthly that the Lord was with him. And above all else, this is the singular most important thing that we can learn from the life of David. I ask you this question tonight, my friend. Would your neighbors know that the Lord is with you? I ask you a question tonight. Would the people you work with at your place of employment know that the Lord is with you? As I travel with young people in the quartet, in a mixed trio, I'll tell you one thing. I think it's important that not only I take the spiritual leadership in a situation like that, but I want them to know that I want the Lord to be with our group. Because the Bible says, in and of myself there dwells no good thing. The Bible says the arm of flesh, it will fail you. But praise the Lord, the Word of God says His arm fails not. I'm glad that this is a ministry that pastor continually gives a praise and glory. He says, look what God has done. God's been good to us here. And friends, we need the Lord with us, not just at Lancaster Baptist Church. He's with us here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst. What a blessing to know that. But friends, let me also say this. We need the Lord to be with us in our family. We need the Lord to be with us in the workplace. We need the Lord to be with us as we teach our Sunday school class. We need the Lord to be with us as we go soul winning. We need the Lord to be with us as we try to mentor those that the Lord brings under our sphere of influence. We need to be people that the Lord is with. You say, well, what would stop the Lord from being with me? The psalmist said this, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Because the Bible says this, it is our sins that have separated us from God. Let's ask God to help us to be a clean vessel. Friends, we need to remember that God created us for two simple purposes. The Bible really is not hard to understand as far as the basic Christian life. If we go all the way back approximately 6,000 years ago to the Garden of Eden, we see that God put man and woman in that garden to do two things. Very simple. To walk with God and work for God. That's why they were there. Adam and Eve were put in the garden to keep the garden. And by the way, let me remind you, that was before there was ever the curse of sin. But they were also there for the very simple purpose to every day walk with the Lord in the cool of the day. I like the song, for he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Friends, God created us to walk with him. That's why we were created. Yet it's an amazing thing how often the cares of this world, things that quite honestly sometimes are good things, come between us and having a relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking him first tonight? I wonder if someone were to write our resume tonight, above all the things that we ought to be doing, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the most important of these is knowing that the Lord is with us. Friends, God wants to work in us. God wants to work through us. David was a man who did many wonderful things. We know that because of his sin, he was not able to accomplish some things he wanted to do, for he wanted to build the temple for his God. But God said, you have bloody hands. He'd made some mistakes. But even though he couldn't do everything his heart sought to do, God was able to use him in a great way. He won great victories. He procured the materials for the building of the temple by his son Solomon. He wrote the Psalms. And now, if you go back according to Usher's chronology, about 3,073 years ago, when David lived here in an independent Baptist church out in the Antelope Valley of California, we're talking about a man who, when the resume was written by a servant, had much that brought honor to his God. I read a brief article today about Pat Hayden, the new athletic director for the University of Southern California. Pat Hayden, who played football back in the 1970s and took the University of Southern California to 3 Rose Bowls. Since then, there has been, in the words of the NCAA, a lack of institutional control. In the words of some, the lunatics are running the asylum. And the previous athletic director was fired, and they approached Mr. Hayden, who, while not only being a good quarterback, undersized, I think he played 1 year in Canada, 6 years in the NFL, a man who was a very serious student. He ended up being Phi Beta Kappa. He was a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford University. They approached him, and he had some pretty comfortable jobs. You could read this in today's LA Times on page 1 of the sports page. They said to him, we would like you to take over and get USC's athletic department back to where it should be. And he immediately said, no, thank you. He worked for an investment banking firm. On the weekends, he did color commentary for the University of Notre Dame for NBC. He had it made. But then his wife said to him, don't you want to do something that makes a difference? His wife of some 37 years, incidentally, convinced him to go back and talk to the president of the University of Southern California. And he accepted the job. The article was quite interesting because he said something that I've heard Dr. Goetsch preach about. He said, I'm interested in the dash. In fact, he signs every letter with this date, 2036. Because if the demographic tables are correct, he believes that's when he will die. And he said, that means I have 26 more years to accomplish something with my life. I read that. As far as I know he went to Catholic high school. I do not know if Pat Hayden is a believer. I have no reason to believe that he is. But I know this, he understands something that Christians need to understand. The Bible puts it this way, redeem the time. The Bible says this, it says, occupy till I come. And I believe that we will be best able to do those things if, like David, we too will submit to authority. We too will work at developing our abilities in our life. We too will be brave and willing to fight, that we too will make wise choices and seek to have wisdom in our life. But above all, and most importantly, if we too will seek to have the Lord with us.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.